swimming when we die. Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky where the stars have always shined.
To say that I've been looking forward to this interview is an understatement, because I really, really have. I've known our guest for many years, and every conversation with him is fascinating. He has his fingers in all kinds of things here on Earth, but it was only a couple years ago that I found out he had his fingers in things in space as well. And so I was excited to learn about that. Couldn't wait for the book to come out, and couldn't wait to finally have him on the show so we could have a conversation that all of you could enjoy and learn from as well. And what I think is most interesting is we're on the precipice of major change. And I am excited about the fact that Robert and people like Robert and here on the show, we're bringing this forward as if it's normal. See, to Robert, it is normal. He's been having this conversation for a long time. But for some of us, this might be the first time we hear it. We've titled the show, How the Space Frontier Can Benefit Humanity. And so you'll see why as we get into Robert's work and his book with Robert Jacobson a little later, and our musical guest, Phil Fest. All very exciting on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition after this.
Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi Beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi Meditation. Phi Meditation helps you harness the power of I Am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with your host, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com, which include luminaries such as comedian Michael Collier, actress Gabriella Wright, performing artist James Hood, and author Ken Honda. Email your comments and questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com. or AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com. You can also comment via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
So I am Filippo Voltaggio, host of Life Changes Show, here with co-host and producer Marc Lejour.
And I am excited for tonight's show. Having grown up in the wind tunnels and the zero G labs and playing, that was my playground as a kid with my dad working at NASA, I've always looked up and I've always been intrigued by what else is out there. And so moving into business in space is exciting.
You know, actually, Robert said something like that. I'm sure he's going to share in just a moment. So interesting, Mark. So we've titled the show, How the Space Frontier Can Benefit Humanity. Our guest is a multifaceted entrepreneur, accomplished space industry enabler, an advocate and investor, and author of the book that we're going to be talking about, Space is Open for Business. He is also a dear friend. Welcome, Robert Jacobson, to the show.
Hey, Filippo. Hey, Mark. It is awesome to be here tonight.
It is awesome to finally have you. And when I, you know, I left out the fact that originally we were going to have you on as a musical guest many, many, many years ago, and that didn't get to happen because you were busy with all of this and more.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that, but you are correct. Yeah, I have a music background too, and super cool that my buddy Phil Fest will be a musical guest this evening. And I think your show title is so appropriate, called that Life Changes Network, because one of the constants of the universe is probably change. It's probably the only, one of the for sure things is that we're always changing. And so as though music was part of my background, space has kind of actually been a long part of my background and drew me back in.
Actually, yes, you shared something similar to what Mark said about as a young kid or young man used to look up to, what was it, the space shuttle?
Yeah, I grew up in Florida in the very long shadow of the space shuttle, and I used to see some flights even from where I grew up on the west coast of Florida if it was a clear day. But my dad also took me over to the east coast, to the Cape, where he had the opportunity to see some flights, and that just kind of stuck with me.
I know you've done a lot of things. Like I said, you've had your fingers in a lot of things, and it kind of feels like you are like all of those things, or so many of them, have informed this moment in your life as you're launching with this book and this great space adventure. Let's start with, what is space?
So space is not just a destination, but let's for a moment think about it as a destination. Just if you're at sea level, 62 miles above your head, or 100 kilometers if you're using the metric system, is the border of space. Now, it's not like if you're at 61 miles or 63 miles, you'd probably see a difference. But scientists have come together and sort of said that is the established, accepted boundary of space. It's called the Kármán line, named after a scientist, von Kármán. And from there, you're in space at 62 miles above sea level. But it is also a fantastic enabler. It's not just, it's space has been something, it's inhabited our dreams, our nightmares for, since for millennia, space has been something that has influenced us. But is also being a strategic high ground, where initially nation states had sort of almost exclusive control and dominance over it. And now you have private individuals, commercial organizations, not-for-profits that are starting to see space as a way to enable great change in positive ways for humanity.
You mentioned dreams and nightmares, and it reminded me of something you said about a society who believes in science fiction or something like that.
Yeah, I have a section of my book all about science fiction and its deep connections with space. That space is in its connection with science fiction. In terms of Western European science fiction, you can go back to Jules Verne, if not a little earlier. And I know some cultures, even India, have been looking at the skies in connection to things that look like science fiction for millennia. And I assert in the book that cultures that have a high degree, or nations that have a high degree of proclivity for science fiction, actually do better economically and maybe even socially. I don't want to pick on any countries in specific here, but you could probably think about some rural countries that are maybe very opposite and different from each other, and then look at their how much science fiction they generate. And we'll take more modern 20th century science fiction like Star Trek. That influenced a number of entrepreneurs, scientists, who have said, these stories, although fictionalized, helped inspire them to create eventual novel technology that we use today.
And I suppose it's mind expanding, and what you're sharing today is mind expanding, yet it's not science fiction. And one of the things I wanted to make sure of when we were chatting before, you and I, is that it's not that we're screwing up the planet and you were thinking, we're going to all have to leave at some point. It's actually quite the opposite, right?
Right. So many times you will see some science fiction pieces that are somewhat dystopian, and I'm suggesting we need more positive, things of a positive future, futurism and science fiction looking in a positive way. I've used some examples where, we have films like Elysium, where they see a future where we've kind of really totally screwed up the planet, and most of us are left behind on the planet, and only a few people get to kind of go up into these beautiful space habitats. But actually, I think that the future is much more bright than that for all of humanity to have the choice to one day live and work in space or on Earth. And in people might, it's a difficult concept maybe to get around this idea of initially thousands and then hundreds of thousands, then millions, if not billions of people living and working in space. But this is the dream that people like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk really hold true, that they see us going into space to both preserve our planet, to take the dirtier, dirtier industries off planet Earth into space so we can keep our blue planet green. And that's kind of a difficult concept for people to think about, but that is the longer term vision, what many of these space entrepreneurs are starting to create. But in the interim, you're going to see all sorts of really fascinating applications from space being beneficial for us here on Earth in the very in the more near term.
Well, I believe more people are getting to understand that we're already doing business of some sense in space with cloud technology and, of course, cellular service and satellite service and that kind of thing. Of course, you're taking it far beyond that. But when we come back, I kind of want to start there in the sense that people didn't even understand that that was going to be a thing. So when we come back, we're going to be talking more with our friend Robert Jacobson. The book is titled Space is Open for Business. And actually, I love the subtitle, which says The Industry That Can Transform Humanity. It's available where books are sold. And of course, you could find Robert on the internet. And reach out to him, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. However, the book has its own website, spaceisopenforbusiness.com. We'll be right back with our guest, Robert Jacobson, a little later on. Our musical guest, Phil Fest, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include influencers such as author Ariel Ford, business luminary Nolan Bushnell, and actress Dee Wallace on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Please send any comments or questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
You're back. I am Filippo online with our guest, Robert Jacobson, author, advocate of space, space industry enabler. Robert, you
said something that I really liked. You said it says this book for today is it reminds you of if a book had come out in the 80s/90s, right? About what?
About the internet, digitization. Now, even if you sort of had access to the early internet, the 80s or early 90s, even let's go up into the, let's be generous and going towards the mid 90s, and you could have imagined, okay, if you, you know, companies having a web page, a business card page, email, fairly predictable, but if you could have started talking about dating apps, Uber, Facebook, and just the myriad of different things that we rely on almost 24/7 in terms of our digital and online lives, would be difficult to predict. And I assert that space is becoming a bit like this. So as you have companies like, you know, back, I'll go back to the 90s, Cisco, which were providing internet infrastructure and servers, eventually allowed companies like Google and others to create their applications to provide us a whole lot of value. You now have large space companies, some government organizations and private companies. I'll take SpaceX as an example, that's building infrastructure. Like SpaceX is doing satellites and rockets, and that infrastructure is going to allow individuals, companies, and organizations to create all sorts of very cool applications for us.
What I hope and trust the difference is that so many of us in this lifetime have seen so much change, and so much change that we weren't expecting, like some of the things you mentioned, that we almost are anticipating lots, lots more. So with this book and with the information that you're providing, it's almost as if we're ready for it, right?
I think we're ready, although we get a lot of information, and so it's difficult to keep up with it. Even as I study and closely track the space sector, it starts becoming information overload. But what I did in the book was I tried to find all, you know, the many different verticals that are being generated and being created, and in a really compact, easy to read way, try to provide the reader with a good overview and understanding of all the different elements and verticals of this emerging and growing space industry.
So I'm glad that you said that, because you did mention some sectors and some things that companies and technology that we are familiar with, some we use and aren't familiar with, but you're talking about industries that are currently not being used in space, and you bring up some very interesting things that are not necessarily some that actually might be counterintuitive. So please share.
Well, you have these, you know, we've used satellites for geocommunications, think telecom, providing your telephone, some radio and other, you know, telecommunication services for decades. But what's happening now is with the miniaturization of electronics, think of like your iPhone, you've got a supercomputer. Well, there's now satellites that are becoming very small, lower cost, almost not quite disposable. And there are groups that are putting in, whether it's single, these smaller satellites in onesies or twosies, to in fact, groups like SpaceX and Amazon, and I think even Facebook, that want to put hundreds, if not thousands, of these smaller satellites into space to provide relatively high performance applications for relatively low cost. And what could be some of these applications? It's providing internet access to areas that are either not served or difficult to reach. You know, doing forest monitoring for deforestation, wildfire, and not just general water management, a host of, especially on the environmental side, tons of applications looking at emissions from cars, traffic. You know, our planet is changing, and I've heard directly from astronauts who've been to space multiple times, who've said they had seen the planet change with their own very eyes from space. So we can use satellites to help monitor our changing planet, hopefully inform the planners, scientists, policymakers to make better decisions for our society.
You mentioned even something that had to do with pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, you know, it's still sort of a nascent area, but you have some life science companies that have over the years taken some experiments and done some either basic life science research in orbit in space. The company that developed the cancer drug called Keytruda, they actually took a they took up a new formulation to space, and that's a very I think it's one of the most profitable, highest selling cancer drugs available. And they took it to space to reformulate it in microgravity. And on a quick kind of terminology, there's kind of gravity everywhere. It's just kind of varying degrees of it. So although zero gravity is a commonly used expression, usually when you're up in orbit, you the more technically correct term would be microgravity, but they're kind of used interchangeably.
So speaking about orbit and little satellites, are we going to be able to see the satellites in orbit from, like, I know we can see some of them now, but is it going to be cluttered up there and we're going to notice it? Looks like traffic in the skies?
Probably, I don't think so. There was there were some satellites that were put up where you could, there was some reflection off of them. I think it was the Starlink satellites, but they're installing sunshades. First of all, those, some of those satellites will eventually decay and burn up in the surface, I mean, in the Earth's atmosphere. You know, there's usually plans put in place so that satellites have to either deorbit or go into a graveyard orbit. So although things like a orbital debris could potentially be a more difficult problem, we're probably going to have that resolved. And because the orbit is a very precious, lower Earth orbit is something we don't want to clutter up too much. But within outside of the atmosphere, there is lots of physical space. So it's sometimes difficult for us to imagine if we're thinking in 2D, but if we start thinking in 3D, where like things are separated by hundreds, if not thousands of miles, there's still like plenty of room to maneuver. And there's lots of solutions that are being looked at on how to better deal with this orbital environment.
And speaking about the environment, you did mention how preserving wilderness, it could help preserve wilderness. But what about the environment up there? You mentioned graveyards and burning up. So are we potentially polluting our universe?
We should start thinking not only that we are citizens of our country and of the earth, but actually start thinking that we are in just kind of meditating on the idea that we are citizens of the solar system. And the solar system does have amazing amount of resources that we will one day be able to extract, leverage, and use, but it is finite. You know, there's only so many planets, there's only so many asteroids. In my book, I actually quote, there was a paper and the title of the paper was, it was from 2019, called How Much of the Solar System Should We Leave as Wilderness? And I'll invite you to, either read the paper or read my book. But essentially, they do suggest that there is a certain percentage of the solar system we should leave aside as wilderness. And that would still allow plenty for many, many generations to use. So not only we preserve a nice place in the solar system, but we want to have enough resources so that one day we can hopefully travel, be an interstellar civilization too. And that's not anywhere in our near future, but we want to make sure that we have enough resources to do that.
When you say this, citizens of the universe, and I was thinking, okay, so if there are citizens of the universe already, are we infringing potentially upon their space? It's probably a conversation for another time, but I'm sure you'd have a comment.
Yeah, yeah, certainly. But I have been in part of some very long-term projects. I'm a crew member with a group called the ARC Mission Foundation, which is seeking to back up human Earth civilization, both on and off the planet Earth. And we've had a few really cool missions, including being inside Elon Musk's Tesla Roadster, and we helped install the first lunar library, putting about 35 million pages of data on the moon to be preserved in a nickel-form disk for several billion years.
Wow. I know we could talk on that for hours, and I personally would love it. But let's move on.
Everything okay?
Scott, it was just my wife sneezing in the background.
Bless her. So I just wanted to make sure that mention is being made, that because you did say that, you know, that there is talk about it being clean or green as much as possible as it goes up there.
That's right. And people said, gosh, what about rockets? They emit pollution. Well, they do have a certain amount of pollution. Usually when you first see the plume, that's just water vapor. But you would need, there's a blog by another space advocate, the Everyday Astronaut, and they looked at rockets and pollution, and they found that you would really need the Starship rocket, which is supposed to be flying sometime this week. It's a new rocket from SpaceX. You would have to have one of those flying thousands of times a day to get anywhere near airline traffic pollution. So right now, and for probably a pretty long time, using chemical rockets is not going to be much, if any, issue on Earth. And there's a lot of research going into how we'll be able to both clean up current orbital debris in space and to prevent it. So I want people to be assured that there's a lot of really capable and smart groups, both at a national level and a commercial level, looking into keeping space relatively free and clean.
So obviously, we're already using space, and space is opening up for business in an entirely different way than we have known it. And Robert, thank you for sharing this. And when we come back, let's talk about timeline a little bit, like what we can expect to be seeing. As a matter of fact, like when we could expect to be traveling. So when we come back, we're going to be talking more with our friend and guest, Robert Jacobson, who's written The Industry That Can Transfer Humanity. The book is Space is Open for Business. It's received a ton of great reviews. A foreword by David S. Rose, and you can go to spaceisopenforbusiness.com to find the book. Of course, it's available where books are sold as well, and then you can find Robert on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn, all at Robert C. Jacobson. So when we come back, more with Robert, and a little later on, our musical guest, Phil Fest, will be joining us. And in our next segment, towards the end, we'll have our Ask Dorothy question, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
Listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA, with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online at lifechangesshow.com, via Twitter at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo, and this is our at-home edition. Our guest is Robert Jacobson, a multifaceted entrepreneur, an accomplished space industry enabler. You know, Robert, we haven't mentioned a couple of the other space companies you've been affiliated with, and nonprofits as well, shall we?
Yeah, certainly. So there's a great nonprofit called the ARC Mission Foundation that we're backing up humanity through its knowledge and culture, through some of the most bleeding edge long-term storage technology. We recently announced a commercial version of the company where people can will be able to very soon in 2021, have their legacy through their stories, their photos, their drawings, preserved for billions of years on the moon. It's called Galactic Legacy Labs, and the URL is lunaprize.com. Mm. And also working with a very cool company called Space VR that is merging flotation tanks, i.e. sensory deprivation tanks, in virtual reality. They have a few locations open. They're opening more. So even if you don't want to go to space but want to know what it's like, they have recreated it. And this is a very cool thing. It's called Space VR.
Well, speaking of wanting to go to space, what kind of timelines are we talking about where this is all possible?
So you can have, as I said, these virtual experiences now. I see that the suborbital flights are going to be coming on probably starting in 2021 and 2022. That'll allow you to go for a relatively short flight up to space, you know, probably about to 6,262 miles above sea level, approximately 100 kilometers, get a nice view of a regional area. You'll probably be in space for, you know, 5 to 7 minutes, come back down. There's a few providers working on that, like Virgin Galactic and Blue Origin, which is owned by Jeff Bezos. Right now, you can already fly orbital through the Russians, although it's very expensive. And SpaceX is now offering that through groups like Axiom Space, which will be starting to take private passengers in 2021 on SpaceX rockets, although that has a much, much higher ticket price in the tens of millions of dollars.
Well, I'm sure that'll go down as time goes on.
That's the way these things usually do work, even if they seem a little daunting right now. But I remember, you know, cell phones were very expensive and very cost prohibitive, and now people have many of them.
Right. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that I'm not quite sure it'll happen quite like cell phones, but you know, but that is the plan with that some of these major space entrepreneurs like the Musks and Bezos and Branson do want to make this so that, you know, tickets could eventually be, you know, in the thousands of dollars, not millions of dollars.
Well, speaking of cell phones, you and I were talking, and I like to say to people, like, when cell phones came out, that was, you know, when it became known to the majority of us, they had been around for a long time being tested, and all the infrastructure behind it had to have been there for a long time, GPS, et cetera. So similar to this, we may not see it for a few years, but the industries that you talked about that are already there, we're aware of. But some of this stuff, it's open for business, but it's already doing business in other areas we don't know, right?
Yeah, certainly. You know, you have a lot of it right now, maybe in the prototyping or early testing phase, but you'll start seeing things become operational and scaled over the next 5 years. You've got these mega constellations that are being formed. I'd referred to earlier from groups like SpaceX's Starlink. You're going to start seeing space manufacturing initially, probably for things that are used in space. But there's also they're looking at things that you could do uniquely in space that would have value back on Earth to justify, you know, making it in space. There's talk of things like point to point travel. I'm not as bullish on that, but, you know, it could be a possibility. You know, there's some studies around generating power from space. The U.S. Air Force has an experiment right now in space on a spacecraft to look at generating, taking solar power and be able to bring it back to Earth. I'm not as optimistic on that for the near future, but I think you could see that, you know, being developed in more over the decades.
So for some of this, I would imagine that people, obviously there'll be robotics and all that, but that people will be living in space. And so how soon is potentially that going to happen?
Well, we have people living in space right now on the space station. We've had a constant human presence in space for 2 decades. It was the International Space Station recently celebrated its 20th anniversary. But I foresee with private space habitats that will be coming online, maybe start to quickly, you might start seeing going from, 5 to 7 astronauts to doubling and then doubling that. So, gosh, I think if things really progress as rapidly as they are, 15 years from now, I think you could have hundreds of potential. It would be if things go right, hundreds of people in space.
Interesting. Well, then you'll have to come on and tell us the progress, or you come on from space.
That would be awesome. We should do a show from space.
Well, we could probably do that so now with somebody who's there.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I remember when you were talking about the book is going to come out. And there again, too, you had information that wasn't out in a book yet, and you put it out in papers and stuff, but you've put it out and get it now before you're helping things change where we're going to need a new one, right?
Certainly. It's a very dynamic industry. Things are changing almost every day, but the book gives a really, not just a great snapshot in time, but provides some really fundamental basic overview if you don't have any understanding or little understanding. And there's a really nice glossary and some great illustrations to try to make some of the more difficult concepts easily digestible.
And I'm glad you said that, because when we spoke about this, I was concerned that it would be too high level or we'd go too deep. And you said this book is for everybody.
That's right. I really wanted to make it enjoyable by yoga teachers to programmers, to insurance agents, to moms and grandmas.
Because we're all part of this and so much more.
It's really about the humans, and I wanted to highlight some stories of lesser known experts and leaders in this area who and give them a chance to shine. So I really had some great opportunity to have interviews with experts in and around the sector that I got to highlight, and so you can to humanize this growing industry.
Wow. Well, this is exciting. I'm glad we finally got to have a conversation on this on the air. I look forward to more conversations off the air and potentially on again soon. And again, Space is Open for Business is the book. Robert C. Jacobson, the author. He's been our guest. We've been talking about the industry that can transform humanity. SpaceIsOpenForBusiness.com is where you can get the book and also where books are sold. And find Robert on social media at Robert C. Jacobson. Robert, what a pleasure, finally.
Thank you so much, Filippo. It was wonderful to be here on the Life Changes Show.
Well, and I have to say thank you to Harold and Nadine Davidson, who I think originally introduced me to your dad, who then introduced me to you. And then I heard Michelle in the background. So hello, Michelle.
She's doing some good design work in the background, but I'll make sure to tell her you said hello. And yeah, a lot of love to Harold and Nadine.
So thank you. Looking forward to connect soon. Robert Jacobson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy question.
Dear Dorothy, this is Roy from Calabasas, California, and I have enjoyed listening to the Life Changes Show for years now. My question for you is about my lovely daughter. For the most part, we have a good relationship and have gone through lots of difficult times together, as well as many exciting adventures during her 50 years with me. We see each other fairly often and speak by phone several times a week. My challenge is that I am a life coach and my clients love and respect me and constantly praise my advice and the suggestions I share with them. However, my daughter just ignores my advice and keeps creating lots of challenges for herself. How can I get her to listen to me?
Roy, Thanks for this great question. My question for you is whether your daughter is asking for advice or is it that you feel she needs to hear what you have to say about certain situations in her life. If she is asking, then please continue to offer her solutions and then choose to let her make her choice to follow your advice or not. If, on the other hand, she is not asking you for suggestions as to how to handle certain life issues, you may find it more helpful to not offer suggestions, even if you feel you know exactly what choices would be best for her. What I do now with my daughter and my son is observe and wait for their questions about their situations. If they're not asking me for advice, I do my best to not offer any in this dimension. However, if they share with me difficult situations or I see difficult circumstances arising, I quietly observe and then I communicate with them from my heart to their hearts. I do this by writing love letters to them, telling them how much I love and appreciate each of them, and I tell them how brilliant they are. I then include in the letters my great advice pertaining to their current situations. I don't deliver the written letters to either of them. Instead, I go into a positive meditative state and read the letters to them from my higher self to their higher selves. Using this method has produced some amazingly positive results, and I love it when I see them making some of the choices I have suggested in my heart-to-heart conversations. The clients I've shared this method with, and the ones who have used it, report great progress as well. This is an awesome method that can be used in all relationships, whether it be with our children, co-workers, significant others, etc. I look forward to you letting me know how well this works for you.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our musical guest, Phil Fest, on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
I am Filippo, and this is the Life Changes Show at Home Edition. Joining us from Florida at home is singer-songwriter, guitarist, vocalist, and EMC, Phil Fest. Welcome, Phil, to the Life Changes Show.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
It feels like a family affair because, well, you and I are starting to get to know each other, but I've known Robert for a long time, and you've known Robert longer than I have.
Yes, Robert and I go back to roughly, I want to say 1995 is when we met. And he mentioned briefly on his segment that he, you know, he's from Tampa. And I lived in the Tampa Bay area since 1987. So we met around 95 and we hit it off. We struck up a friendship. We've played music together and often talked about, you know, space and stuff like that. I never really, you know, I never thought he'd take it to the point he's taken it to. I'm so proud of him. And, but yeah, so we go back about the 25 years, I guess that would make it.
Yeah, he really took it to space.
He certainly did. He's in the stratosphere.
So speaking of Tampa Bay and, and South Florida and all that, you are highly in demand there, not just as a guitarist and vocalist, but people invite you to EMC in Portuguese. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I do. But, you know, real quick before I get there, I just want to say, you know, Robert was talking about how he could see the space shuttle launches from the Tampa area. Mm-hmm. And when I moved to Florida in 87, you know, it was a year after the, you know, the fatal crash, the explosion of the space shuttle. But when they did the first launch after that, my friend and I drove over to Kennedy Space Center and we caught the first launch. I think it was in 1989 that they did after that. And I can't remember the name of the shuttle that it was. And ever since then, I got hooked on watching the launches. And from where I live now in West Palm Beach, I can see the SpaceX launches from my bedroom window when they get high up. We're about 120 miles south now of Cape Canaveral, where I live now on this side. But getting back to what your question here, so I do some traveling. Pre-COVID, I was performing down in Brazil and South America roughly 3-4 times a year. The last 4 years, specifically in southern Brazil, and that experience has brutally kind of put it all together for my latest record that will be coming out in early 2021. That you know, tunes that were written, just, you know, kind of an Akashic record, if you will, of my life in the last 4 years. I met my wife, you know, my wife Isabel. We met, and so it really changed my life. So my last 4 years have been very transformative.
So before we get into the song here in a moment, I was hoping you would mention something about your heritage.
Okay, so my parents were from Brazil. My father, Manfredo Fest, was part of the Boston, you know, let's call it the second wave of Bossa Nova musicians that came to the U.S. in the late 60s. We'll say the first wave was the early 60s with like Jean Gilberto after Stan Getz recorded with him and Astrud for, you know, The Girl from Ipanema, which really, you know, brought, you know, was one of the major, you know, events that brought Bossa Nova to the consciousness of the rest of the world. And my father was one of the pioneers of the piano stylings, if you will. And he had about 5 or 6 LPs with a label in São Paulo called RGE. And all of those are really up on YouTube now. I mean, I can't believe how many people have these records and just all up on YouTube. So anybody interested, just go on YouTube, put Manfredo Fest. And I mean, all the LPs are up. And I've discovered so much of my dad's music that I was unaware of.
Oh, interesting. Well, and you have helped continue the tradition of the Bossa Nova, and I think it's interesting how I know we're going to get to hear you singing in English. However, there's lots of wonderful music out there, your CDs and also on YouTube, et cetera, of you singing in Portuguese. So, and your new album, is that going to have some Portuguese in it?
It is. Okay. My new album is called the Café Fom Fom, and Café Fom Fom is a jazz club in Porto Alegre, Brazil, where I did the bulk of my shows down there and became really good friends with the owners. And that's where I met Isabel, my wife. And so I just, you know, it's just, yes. So a lot of good memories. Like I said earlier, just a great time of my life.
And a lot of good songs, obviously. But we're going to hear something to start from your one of your previous albums, right?
No, actually, I was going to start off with one of my new tunes, if you don't mind.
Oh, no. Better yet. Okay. Yeah. So what is that called?
This song is called Each and Every Week. And there is a Isabel's apartment, her condo, is next to Porto Alegre's Central Park, if you will. It's called the Parque Redenção. And it's a big park, you know, acres and acres. It's kind of like Central Park in New York City. So every Saturday morning when I would be there, we would take a walk and there would be a green market, kind of like, you know, with the what happens here in the U.S., you know, and like there'd be a green market and coffee, you know, coffee stands and, you know, breakfast huts. And every Saturday morning we would do that walk. And so I wrote a song about that, and it's called Each and Every Week.
Okay, well, here is Phil Fest performing Each and Every Week live on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition.
A Saturday morning, and now it's time to get out. We love to do it each and every week. The birds are chirping and the breeze feels so good, yeah. It's how we do it so we never feel bleak. It's time to honey, and for my money we'll always enjoy this. And if it's raining, well, we'll just sneak a peek will do. But there's nothing like the real thing. We love to do it each and every week. It's how we do it each and every week. And if it's raining, well, we'll just sneak a peek. We love to do it each and every week. It's how we do it each and every week. And if it's raining, well, we'll just take a pee. Has come and gone, and wow, it was a good time. And yes, we've done it each and every week. Indeed, the birds were chirping and the breeze felt so good, yeah. And sure enough, my love, we're not feeling bleak. We bet our money and honey, I know we'll always enjoy this. And if it rains, so we didn't just take a peek will do. But there's nothing like the real thing. We love to do it each and every week. It's how we do it each and every week. And if it's raining, well, we'll just sneak a peek. We love to do it each and every week. And if it's raining, well, we'll just take a peek. And if it's raining, well, we'll just take a peek. Oh.
Mm. Well, I see why you explained what you actually were doing each and every week. That can be interpreted so many different ways, and I like that too. So this is from the album that's coming out in 2021, and did you say Café Bon Bon?
Café Fon Fon. That is
Fon Fon.
Yep, like Fon Fon, F-O-N, F-O-N, F-O-N.
Okay.
And that is the name of the jazz club there in Porto Alegre, where just so many wonderful things happen for me. And yes, so
album
is already mixed and produced. It's done. I'm actually negotiating with a couple different labels for perhaps some distribution deals over in Europe. I'm prepared to put it out independently, but I'm just need to get 2020 out of the way.
Well, if you like what you heard, as we did, Facebook, you can find Phil Fest, and Phil is P-H-I-L-L, and Fest, F-E-S-T, Phil Fest. So, Phil, are you going to do some instrumental for us now, or are you going into potentially another song?
Yes, I'm going to do a song written actually by my father that I recorded my first album my release from 2012. Progetto BFC, and it got up to number 18 on the jazz album charts.
Nice.
And this one is called Bossa Blues Number 2, and I pre-recorded the accompaniment, so I will play the melody on my electric guitar here. So the melody and all that is live, but the accompaniment is on my looper pedal here. So,
oh, here. Okay.
Bossa Blues Number 2.
Blossoms.
Thank you.
That was Bossa Blues from Progetto BFC, written by Manfredo Fest, performed by Phil Fest. Phil, what a pleasure to get to know you, to get to know your music, to have you on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Filippo. And I want to, again, thank Robert for introducing you and I and, you know, providing me with this opportunity and this platform to talk a little bit, you know, with you and talk about the music and a little bit about my heritage. And so I'm honored to be on board here.
Well, it's exciting. Also, I'm looking forward to your new album because we've gotten to hear some clips from it. And you shared with us and we posted on our webpage an exclusive so far. It's not even out yet. So if everybody goes to the Phil Fest page on the Life Changes show, you'll see a video that Phil just finished kind of teasing his next album. So it's a short, very sweet video, and thanks for sharing that with us, Phil.
Oh, my pleasure, and thanks for you know, posting it up. And yes, it's going to be probably released here in about a week and a half, and it's, like you said, it's just a teaser. I do a little bit of talking, and there, I think it clips through maybe, I don't know, five tunes, maybe four or five tunes. I can't remember now, but and you get to hear some little snippets here and there.
Indeed. Well, we certainly got to hear some tonight. So again, thank you to you, Phil Fest. Thank you to Robert Jacobson. And that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am your host reminding you, I'm your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes show, and on Twitter at Life Changes show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, Life Changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.